Yeah, okay.
Access number 30,010, Mr. Arthur Carter, Reel 5. Now, we were talking about this patrol, and, you know, you went out to fight some survivors. It's daytime patrol, so that's quite
daytime,
unusual.
Daytime, yeah, it was
and
unusual.
And you came under mortar fire. I can't take up the story from there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was right out in the middle of no man's land, like, and these we could see these Chinese running about on the mountain beyond us, and all of a sudden they started firing these 3-inch mortar bombs at us, and they was landing all round us, and there's one drop near me. It was about, I should think it was about 8 foot away. It plopped in the ground, never went off. So that was a bit of luck for me. But there was one of our paramedic that come with us. He got killed. And another one of the chaps got injured. So we ended up carrying the dead person back, like, you know, McDonald, I think his name was. And that's how we went. I mean, we didn't find anybody who was looking
did
for
us. Did you go any further, or did that try the mortar fire rather send you back?
Yeah, they more or less sent us back, that did, yeah, after that. I mean, you got the blokes killed, we had to carry them back.
So, basically, it failed to... I mean, they'd probably already been taken prisoner, I don't know.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Bob Guest was one of them, and he got captured, didn't he? And...
Yeah. Any other patrols or incidents, you know, from the second time when you got back that you remember?
Only the patrols, one of the patrols I didn't go on, where one of my best mates got killed, they got ambushed. They went.
Tell me what happened. I mean, who was he and why was he such a good mate of yours first?
Jack Brown, we was in the army together quite a long time and was mates all the time, on the boat and everywhere, you know.
What was he like?
He come from Dagenham. He was a nice bloke. He was, you know, and it was just a shame that he got killed. But
he was a private, was he?
Yeah. There was three of them got killed, and I think six of them got injured because they run into this ambush, this chinky ambush that surrounded them. And if they'd have waited a little bit longer, they would have killed a lot of them, but I think they rustled about and so he was able to get, you know, some of them got away, but all right. But they tried to capture one of the blokes, and his mate, he pushed his fingers in this bloke's eye, this chinky's eye, you know, and pulled him back because he was going to capture him because he was slightly injured. And They did get away, but that was a, you know, bit of a bad turnout for them.
I presume you were pretty upset from the death of your friend.
Yeah, it was, you know, when you lose somebody, you know, you lose somebody like that, and it does upset you a bit. Yeah, you think it could have been yourself, really, because it's just who they picked on that particular day, like, to go out on the patrol.
Did you get any rest time in, we talked about the rest camp, but what about, did you get away to Japan?
Yeah.
A lot of them went. Tell us about
Yeah,
that.
I went to Japan for 5 days. We flew over there, it's only 1,000 miles. And
whereabouts in Japan? Was that Tokyo or
Tokyo, yeah.
Where did you stay? Tell us what you remember of that holiday, holiday leave.
Yeah, it was... It was like a, I don't know what it was really, like a camp sort of thing where we stayed. And we had a look all around the shops and bought a few things. Went to the pictures one day while we was there. But I mean, 5 days soon goes sort of thing.
How'd you get all the Japanese? So it was only 6-7 years after the war, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I never had much to do with them, really, to be honest, but not as such, you know.
Did you drink much on I didn't drink much anyway, did you?
No.
Anything else you remember? You know, we're getting towards the end of your time in Korea. Anything else you remember?
When we come back from Japan, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, unless there's anything else more about Japan.
No, there's not much there, really. Only that we kind of looked around, had a good look around there, and it. When we came back, we went back to where we were again, I think, and picked up where we left off.
Anything changed since you were there?
Not really, no. No, I think it was much about the same when we come back. Because we used to taking turns going on leave, you know, so many of them went at a time. But one particular time I couldn't go because I had those... we had body lice in this particular place, what we took over from. And I got rid of them all, but before we went on leave, they found my shirts had been washed, and they found some eggs in the under the arms and that, you know. So I was cancelled that one. That was the one that was supposed to go on with my mates and that, but so I had to go another time. On that one.
Anything else you remember about your time out there? Did you get more nervous as time went on, or less nervous?
It was a bit apprehensive most of the time, really, because you didn't know whether you was gonna come back or not, you know. But just carry on as normal.
Did you get letters and parcels from home? We haven't really talked about that. Would you write home?
I used to write home, yeah.
And what could you write about? Were you censored?
They were censored, yeah, so you couldn't write too much about what you were supposed to be doing, like, you know. Just used to say he was okay, and you know, where there was a lot of snow there and things, whatever was going on at the time, you know, monsoons and all that.
So how often would you write?
Probably about once a week.
And what about letters back? How often would they come back? Who would write to you?
Wife used to write to me. I wasn't married then, so yeah. My mother used to write. She sent me a cake once in a tin, and it took 6 weeks to get there, and it was all in crumbs when it, you know, when it got there.
Did they send many parcels or?
No.
Was that the only one?
I think that's the only one I can remember. Yeah.
Well, letters very important to you.
Yeah, I used to like to get a bit of news from her. You know, it just kind of cheered us up a bit.
So the letters from home would just be full of sort of what was happening to your family, your wife, and
yeah, what they'd been doing, and you know, that sort of thing, and out and about, and what she used to go old time dancing and that. But,
they were out there till about August, I think. Anything happening towards the end?
August, yeah. What time did we got? We got back. We didn't get back till nearly November. It was a fortnight late coming out of the army.
Now, what happened? What's because they didn't come back, did they? What happened when you handed over? Because they went on to Hong Kong, the Norfolks.
Yeah.
What happened when you left the front line area then?
I think I can't think who took us over. I don't really remember that. I was taken over. Because we took over from the Ulster Rifles when we went out there. The Royal Ulster Rifles. Ireland.
So you handed over, then what?
We just made our way back, really, to the, take them back to the, place where we picked the ship up, right? Come back on the same one as we went out on.
Empire Orwell.
Yeah.
And how did you feel when you left the unit? You know, because you left them on the boat, I presume. They got off the boat at Hong Kong, didn't they? Or do you not remember?
All of our lot came home. All our regiment came home. But there was another regiment of the Norfolks, I think, that was out there, went to Hong Kong.
What do you remember about the trip back? How did it compare with the trip out?
Yeah, I think it was better knowing you was coming on the way home, right? Thing was, when we got back home, you know, I told you I wanted to get in the REs, Royal Engineers. They put me in, when I came home, they put me in the Royal Engineers to do I had to do 3.5 years Army Emergency Reserve.
Yeah, that's after you've been demobilised, isn't it? Tell us about the demobilisation first, or did you hear it?
That was before I was demobilised.
Right, so you were told what you'd be in.
Yeah, so we had to go down there. Had to go down to Liss, Hampshire, first, and then we came back.
So what? Who are you reporting to in Hampshire then?
It was the camp that was down there, the Royal Engineers, where we had to go down there 3 years running for a fortnight, doing the training and.
So you reported there first before you left the army.
Reported there. Came back to London, had to go down to Norwich to get demobbed.
And what was the demob procedure?
More or less handing your kit in and signing forms and that, I think. And just dismissed like.
And that was it, November?
Yeah, that was the middle of November, that was.
52.
Yeah.
And you didn't get a demob suit or anything like that?
Nothing, no. No, I think it was only the people that was in the war got those, didn't it? You know, 1939-45.
Now, what happened? What were you going to do? I mean, you know, you're back in civilian life. You were just going to go back to your old trade, aren't you?
Yeah, I went straight back. I phoned up the person who I'd done my apprenticeship with, and said, like, did they need anybody like bricklayers? He said, oh yeah, we're desperate, like, so could you come back? So that's what I've done. I started back there again.
And that was a successful career. That's what you did, isn't it? You were a bricklayer, yeah,
that's
and then
right.
a builder? Or
yeah, bricklayer all the time, yeah.
Now, did you have any problems getting back into civilian? I mean, I know you were only away 2 years, but it's 2 years at an important time. Did it?
Yeah.
Was it easy getting back to civilian life?
Yes, it wasn't too bad because... As I say, I got the job straight away and started work, and we was living, before I got this house, like, we was living with my mother-in-law, and had a room down there, and an old lorry, covered in lorry, what I bought, filled it back in and made a kitchen of it. That's all we had. It was only a little small cottage where they lived. It was about four children and four, you know, and it's pretty cramped. So we had the little front room and the outside place to use the washing and kitchen and that, you know.
But you didn't have any trouble settling down?
No.
Now tell me about your TA. Well, it's reserve. It's not TA. It's reserve service.
Yeah, AER, they call it. Army Emergency Reserve.
And what did it, tell us what you'd do then.
Well, we was laying railway tracks and that sort of thing, like putting the sleepers down and laying the tracks. What we done mainly down there.
And this is all at Liss Camp?
Yeah.
And it was always there?
I think so, yeah.
So you do that in 1953 to 19...
I think that was Borden, a place called Borden near Liss.
Borden Camp?
Yeah.
That's where you'd reported to the first telegraph from Borden Camp.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so you're just laying railways. Was that training or was that was for supposed a purpose?
That was supposed to be what the Royal Engineers were doing, I suppose, at the time. It was teaching us how to do it, probably.
Did you enjoy it?
Well, didn't mind it, but to me, it was a waste of, you know, a couple of weeks, really. We're getting hardly anything for it.
So it's just a lot of money for you.
Yeah.
You know, did you ever think of being a regular or joining the TA or anything like that, or was it just something you wanted out of?
No, I didn't think about joining up or nothing like that. You know, I was married at the time, and, you know, you didn't really want to be away and all
so
that.
When you finished your 3 years, there was no question of extending it?
No.
Tell me, what were you meant? The last thing we do is a membership of various veterans and associations and things. Now, you're a member of the Korean Veterans Association, aren't you? Now,
yeah.
How you found out about that and what that does for you, or what do you do for it? You know, what is it?
The Korea Veterans, I mean, that was at Wellingborough, the one that I was joined in with. I think it was old Fred Brett got in touch with me about that. And he said, like, he used to be in the Watford one, but he's moved down to, he didn't like the people there, he's gone down to the Wellingborough one. So he said, you're going to come down there? I said, yeah, join up and come down there. So joined that, and it was quite good because we used to go down there on a Friday night, me and, you know, your wife and that, and they used to have, on a Friday night, we stopped at this hotel in Wellingborough, and get a taxi down to the club house where they had this supper dance down there. And boy, because you'd meet up with all the blokes were a lot of years older. You had to kind of, you know, recognise them a bit for the start of it. It was a good weekend. Sometimes we used to stay another night if we wanted to, down in Wellingborough.
Does that still go on?
No, unfortunately, somebody, I think they died or something, and there was nobody to run it, so it fizzled out.
So what do they do now in that branch?
They have a meeting on once a month on a Sunday at the British Legion Club. But I mean, I don't go all the way down there, just for an hour on a Sunday morning.
So you're a bit of a, you're a member, but
I'm a member,
it's
yeah.
Not doing much for you now.
No.
Did you go with them, any of the vet to Korea? Have you ever been out there again?
No, I didn't.
Some of them have.
Yeah, some of them did. No, I never did go out there. Oh, I could have done. I probably still could go out there because they're still doing it at the moment.
Would you think of it, or is it not something that appeals?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind going out there to have another look at it. To, you know, I mean, I know what they do down there. They go around the cemeteries and things like that, see the graves of the mates and that have got killed and that. And I think they have a few church services and.
So you might do it.
Yeah, I may do that, yeah.
Are you a member of anything else? Are you in the Royal Norfolk Regiment Association? I think they've got one as well.
No.
British Legion?
No, not in the British Legion.
So that's your only veterans thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it is, yeah.
Do you keep in touch with many of the old comrades then?
Yeah, I do, yeah. About three others that I was with, they come from different areas like Southwold and Witham, Northampton. You know, I just give them a ring about every 3 months, and perhaps they might ring me back 3 months' time or whatever, you know. But just to find, you know, see how they are like, isn't it? They all came down to my some of my parties what I've had. I'd have a golden wedding and that, you know, had a big do and that. And they came down for that.
So the friendships you made at that time have lasted, well, 50 odd years now.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah.